There's gonna be a revival tonight. Every boy's gonna jump and shout and throw the gun down. All your sisters and your brother, bring all of us out into the light. This is your land, my land. Everybody got it, ain't free. There'll be no more suicide.
Listening to TV on the radio here on BFF.fm. I'm Jessica and I'm here with Leah. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. And today in our continuing series on TV shows about people dealing with the psychological fallout of having caused a death, we are talking about season two of Barry on HBO. I loved this season.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
I also loved this season. We are both on record as loving last season also. I thought it was a really, really, like, revelatory show mm-hmm. last season. You voted it your number one show of 2018.
Oh, did I?
Yes, you did. And, yeah, I was a little nervous about season two and worried about a sophomore slump.
Yeah.
Sophomore the second year?
Yes.
Okay, good. worried about a sophomore slump, and turns out my worries were unfounded. I loved it.
Yeah, I apologize if I just mostly repeat what I said about the first season, because I do feel like I liked a lot of the same things in season two, but Bill Hader is the greatest actor of our generation.
This or any other generation.
I continue to be amazed that I spent years. I'm a pretty consistent SNL watcher. I spent years looking at his fucking weird comedy face.
Stupid face.
Doing stupid things. Mm-hmm. And now suddenly the same face, he is a dramatic powerhouse.
Yeah.
And so fucking hot.
Like, yeah.
I can't believe how handsome he is.
He's handsome and awkward and murderous. And it's really a hell of a performance.
But his like bugged out eyes used to look so silly to me. And now like I can only see pain in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's... And he is also the co-creator and writer of the show and has directed at least a few episodes this season. And it's so good.
And seems thoroughly, like, kind of untouched by the whole thing, which is what I'm always blown away by in hearing interviews with him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is ostensibly a... What would we call it? A dramedy, right? Like a...
Tragicomedy.
Tragicomedy. and then to like hear him and his like insanely goofy laugh do all of these like interviews and things, like you turned me on to his episode of Conan
O'Brien Needs a Friend.
And just to hear the two of them crack each other up and just be delighted by each other was a real treat. And
yeah, you should listen to that. His uninhibited laughter is so funny to
me. And both of them. Yeah. I mean, he cracked Conan up too. But just to hear all that and then just this like dark, dark material that's coming from him. It's real like cognitive dissonance. And he is absolutely pulling it off.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, if Bill Hader has murdered people in real life, I would believe it.
Okay. So this show, I love that aspect of it because it's about a man who is trying to escape his past and reinvent himself as someone who's not a murderer, not a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing that by throwing himself into acting.
Yeah.
And so it's this interesting like kind of meta... not meta commentary, but like there is a meta level to it because it's about he's doing an amazing job acting in a role that's sort of about acting and like reinventing yourself. And my favorite scene this season was, so he's like going back and forth on whether or not how much of his real story to tell in this like theater piece they're all working on for their workshop. And the scene where Sally is doing her piece about her leaving her abusive ex, and Barry finally channels the worst thing he's ever done into playing her abusive ex, was my favorite scene maybe in television.
It was outstanding.
I think it's just so amazing when an actor can like convey what good acting is. And he was so, you know, he suffers from PTSD and he's under all this pressure. I thought he was going to kill her on stage. And they threw in this thing. So they did, Sally kept talking about her experience in stage combat. So part of it included him grabbing her around the throat and choking her. And the scene, his acting was flawless and terrifying.
Yeah.
And then the one botched part was this shitty stage combat where he just stuck his hand out and she grabbed it very slowly and put it on. So it's like that funny moment where it's like, it kind of takes you out of it and it's funny, but it was still like a terrifying scene. And the show does that a lot. It's also one of the funniest shows I've ever seen. And I can't believe that it deals with such dark shit and is still so funny. Anyway, Bill Hader deserves, he got the Emmy for best acting last year and he deserves another one for the season, I think.
I think the season has definitely been just like strong in his... Last season was kind of just like the beginning of him unfolding this journey about like wanting to be a different person. And it truly is like it's a fake it till you make it thing. Like he's going to be an actor, which is pretending to be someone else. And he's going to do that as a way of becoming a better person. And this season just explored like him getting deeper into that and like it just explored really deep themes about like your inherent nature versus like, who, you know, who can someone change who they are? Yeah. And yeah, it's just, it was really great. And it is absolutely hilarious. There are so many laugh out loud moments during mm-hmm. every episode. Even like the weird bottle episode had so many moments yeah. that I just laughed like uproariously at, with that strange feral child.
Yeah.
Who's not of this earth.
Should we just talk about that episode? Yeah, there was one mid-season called Ronnie Lily that it's kind of a tonal shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there will be spoilers, but I guess we can just, he has to kill this guy who's not been a character. He shows up at this house, and it's very odd, sort of Tarantino-esque series of fight sequences.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like, so yeah, he takes this guy out who's a Taekwondo master.
Yeah.
Weirdly. I felt like this episode was like Tarantino had adapted a Rob Delaney tweet into a movie.
Yeah.
Because he kills this guy who, at the behest of a man. Okay, why am I telling this story so convoluted? A
detective who,
his wife has been cheating, sleeping with another guy, and mm-hmm. it turns out to be a karate sensei, which is very Rob Delaney. There's no point in me like just sort of summarizing the episode, but it's odd and it has this otherworldly feel. Like, I think mm-hmm. until the end, I thought that maybe it was going to be a dream but it was wild. And I don't know. I read some think pieces that were trying to explain what that episode meant, and none of them really resonated with me. But
well, have you watched all of the, after each episode, there's an interview with Bill Hader and Alec Berg, who create the show together, and they do a little kind of like, they break down each episode.
No, I have not.
Yeah.
I always watch the end credits, and HBO says stay tuned after the episode, and it's not there.
Oh. If you go to HBO Go, it is definitely there. But yeah, we watched that, and he, in very Bill Hader fashion, they go into this thing about how they wanted to do this bottle episode, and they had this kid who he like had a friend who was like, my kid does stunt work if you ever want like a kid who does stunt work. And so they kind of created this role for this kid, and uh-huh. he was just talking about how she was amazing, and they were talking about how it's like a real exploration of him trying to break away, but like Fuchs being the only person who's there for him in the mm-hmm. end, but it's obviously this like very blown up, like exaggerated way. And then at the end, he's like, yeah, that one was weird. Very Bill Hader.
It's just like, if you're the creator of something that's really like celebrated and talked a lot about, it must be fun to just be like, yeah, that was a weird one, huh?
Yeah. And that's what he said. Some people are probably really gonna hate it, and some people get it, and some people won't. And that was a weird one. And just kind of like laughed his little wry chuckle. Yeah.
Oh, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was an interesting episode. It's sort of like split the season down the middle.
Yeah. It was the beginning of like a true break for him. The season builds to him being in like tighter and tighter situations that he can't escape from because of the fallout of all these mm-hmm. like terrible things that he has done in his quest to be a better person. And that was kind of the break where he had to like choose a side, and he's like way over a fucking barrel for the rest of the season because of that. He ends up with Fuchs, but then that devolves, and it's really interesting.
I also, God, this is going to sound stupid. I feel like this is a really great show about America. Like, it's Barry's story for us starts with him in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And, I think the war part is a really interesting element, and it's a story about him trying to leave his past behind and like redefine himself going forward, and he can't, you know, mm-hmm. like the past always comes back to haunt you. And I feel like that's a great commentary on our great country and how we like to, you know, talk about how we're the greatest country in the world.
Yeah.
And we're a country that commits atrocities and has never apologized or
yeah
done anything to and make up for it.
Yeah, we commit atrocities on other countries as well as now to ourselves, which yes. is really coming full circle. I mean, we've always committed atrocities for our own people, but yeah, presented ourselves as like world police and these mm-hmm. yeah, like avenging Captain America types. And as we all know, there is no fucking Captain America. No. Well, sorry, there is. It's Megan Rapinoe. But but yeah. Yeah, it tracks that yes, this is kind of a story about like constantly striving to make yourself better while doing really fucking terrible things just to sort of try to break into what you think is that dream that everybody mm-hmm. else says you should have or you should attain. And yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you're striving for something that is not real.
Yeah. Sorry if I'm bouncing around, but in that vein. So a big part of the season is Barry trying to work on this theater piece, and mm-hmm. he's going back and forth. Everyone in the workshop is going to write a piece to perform that is their defining moment,
yeah.
which also provided a lot of comedy. But Barry, it comes out when he's trying to keep Gene from leaving the theater group. He finally tells the truth about the first time he killed someone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an amazing scene because he's telling this story about having shot, like taken an unlikely shot at someone very far away in Afghanistan. And he killed that person.
Mm-hmm.
And the other students from the workshop start acting it out, and they do this very melodramatic thing where it's a moment of despondence mm-hmm. and having killed someone for the first time. And you see in Barry's reflection that it was actually like this jubilant moment where
yeah.
everyone celebrates him, and he felt for the first time like part of a community. And
mm-hmm.
at one point he says, like, the first day I killed someone was the best day of my life. And it's very funny and extremely dark because, you know, you want to sympathize with this character mm-hmm. who's trying to be better, but at the same time, he is a murderer, you mm-hmm. know, like he did that, and he experienced that moment of dehumanization where he took a life and mm-hmm. nothing bad happened. He was celebrated for it. And I think it's a really interesting statement about war and
mm-hmm.
the things that we perpetrate in other countries, and it's fine, you know,
like yeah.
no one ever.
Yeah. Nobody's holding you to account.
It's just another day in the life, yeah. you know, in endless war.
Yeah.
And, you know, now Barry is trying to be a good person, but can you ever come back from that? Like mm-hmm. having lost that part of your humanity.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Well, that's our show, everybody.
But it's like, this is what we're doing in this country is, yeah. you know, like, cheapening life to the point where
yeah.
like I don't know what anything means anymore.
There
like,
are kids what are locked you... up in cages mm-hmm. as we speak in this country, and we are not all on the streets all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Like it's dehumanizing and terrible. And yeah. I don't know. Maybe we need an improv class, Jess. Maybe that would maybe that'd make things better.
Things are very dark, but not that dark
yet. Yeah.
Yeah. God, can you imagine what point in our lives we would have to be if we took an improv class?
That's when you'll all know it's a real cry for help, guys. If
truly.
If we're setting up an improv, I don't know. I feel like maybe improv's my medium and I just haven't given it a shot.
Oh, I think it absolutely is. I think you would be
rude.
Great yes. at it.
It's very rude.
I am positive that almost anyone could probably benefit from taking an improv class, but
yes and
not gonna
Yes, and it's not.
See,
but
you're halfway
yes.
there.
Yes. Well, we're
all right, Leah. I'm signing us up.
Okay, we're way off course now, but
we're still talking about acting.
Yes. Yes, and let's talk for a minute too about that's the real like. Masterful thing that this show does is it does walk that line between these like very, very dark, and not just dark, but like heavy metaphysical questions. Like, mm-hmm. at the core of this show is, like, can people change who they are? Like, right. when...
What is the truth?
Yeah, and also, like, when there's no impetus for you to do that, like, everything that is who Barry has been has benefited him. Mm-hmm. Like, he has, you know, yeah, it was the first time he gained a community was when he turned out to be a really fucking great soldier. And also, if that's something that you're good at, like, that's mm-hmm. also a message that's fucking hammered home yeah. in America. It's like, do something you're passionate about that you can be really good at. And what if what you're really good at is, like, killing people? Yeah. How do you reconcile that? You know, like, the one thing that you can do in a way that no one else can do that makes you special and has given you all these things. Like, he has a comfortable life. Like, he has enough money. He, you know, all mm-hmm. of that. Like, there's really no impetus, and there's been no true connection to this point to force him to change. And I think that the relationship, like, seeing his relationship play out with Sally is a perfect, like, it's the perfect relationship, because she is this self-involved, vapid actress who's all about the truth, but, yeah. like, will sell out, you know, mm-hmm. By the end of the season, essentially realizes, like, she needs to sell out. And it's interesting to see, like, all these people are making all these decisions throughout the right. show based on, like, who do you want to be and where do you draw, like, a line? What's important and what counts and what mm-hmm. makes you who you are, and what part can you just kind of compartmentalize and say, like, I did this, but that's not who I am.
Yeah.
Like, what do you tell yourself at the end of the day? And
yeah.
in that way, it's, like, interesting that he's trying to forge this real relationship for the first time in his life with somebody who's not real. Like, Sally doesn't have that to give to anyone else because she's so self-centered right yeah. now, and, like, such a monster and has been since season one. One of the favorite scenes that I had in the last season was how she's sitting, she's just had this, like, breakthrough in acting class, and she's sitting in her car listening to, like, fight song, and there's this, like, extremely violent mass murder going on outside her car, and she just, like, is literally oblivious to it because she's so, you know, in yeah. her process or whatever. But she's grappling with that this season too, with regards to, like, what is your truth, and who gets to tell that, and how do you tell it? And her entire narrative is her being this, like, strong woman who walked away from this abusive relationship. And in reality, that's, she left, like, under cover of darkness and yeah. never confronted the guy, and still gets cowed when she encounters him. You mentioned in your outline that Bill Hader's glance, like, it's a closing shot in one of the episodes, but his glance when he realizes the guy in the parking lot is Sally's ex who had been abusive yeah. to her was also, like, insanely powerful, like yeah. and just amazing acting. Yeah, the way he can contort his face and just convey so much mm-hmm. in a look is truly impressive.
Yeah, he's incredible. And there probably are, like, cinematographers to give credit too, also, because I feel like the way his eyes are lit is mm-hmm. so dramatic mm-hmm. and, like, he can cry, which is, like, I find it particularly powerful because he is a you know, emotionally stunted mm-hmm. soldier, and mm-hmm. so when he brings that emotion to a scene, it's crushing to watch. But yeah, like, you were talking about Sally and her journey this season, and I feel like this show does a good job of showing how we're constantly given opportunities to justify our behavior. Mm-hmm. Like, Barry was, you know, in the military, and so killing people in a foreign country was his job.
Yeah.
And then when he became a hitman, there was this sort of, like, I think Fuchs told him that they were killing bad people.
Yeah.
So he could, you know, in a way, talk himself into believing that it was okay.
And again, it was his job.
Yeah. And then Sally is struggling with what her true story is. And there's a lot of back and forth between her and Barry, because Barry doesn't want to tell the true story of, mm-hmm. of the worst thing he did in the military, which was kill an innocent person.
Yeah.
In a fit of rage. And Sally doesn't, she's, you know, she tries to finally tell the truth about how she stayed with her husband mm-hmm. for many years and excused his bad behavior. And then at the end, she chickens out and tells a fake story about screaming at him and leaving. And then she's totally rewarded for that.
Yeah.
Like, everyone in the theater says they were very moved by it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's an interesting question about, like, I guess, acting, you know, like what we connect with something when we feel like it's truthful, but obviously not. You're seeing acting. It's fake by definition.
Yeah.
What you bring to it doesn't necessarily have to be the literal truth to connect with people. Yeah, I don't. Sally has an amazing soliloquy in the penultimate episode where she's confessing to Barry about her kind of jealousy and the pressure that's on her to mm-hmm. try to tell this story, and how she feels like she has to represent all women when she talks about being in an abusive relationship, and it goes on and on. And I felt like this was sort of a meta commentary on acting, because it's an extremely long scene mm-hmm. that's no cuts, just her face.
Yeah.
It's, you know, multiple minutes long, and it's very powerful. Yeah, I thought she did a great job this season.
Yeah,
her name? Sarah Goldberg.
The whole I've never seen her in anything else. Have you?
I don't think I have either.
But yeah, the whole ensemble cast are really good in this. I can't believe we've made it this far into the show without mentioning the Honorable Jane Cousineau, played by Henry Winkler, which we both raved about last season mm-hmm. as like the breakout star of the show.
Yeah.
A little actor named Henry Winkler you may or may not have heard of.
Finally getting his moment in the sun.
Yeah, and he is also doing some truly awesome work this year.
He's great.
He's just, Henry Winkler is the type of person who I feel like is also given to being a good actor just because of his what seems to be like sheer guilelessness mm-hmm. in his real life. I feel like that's probably something that you need to be an actor, because you need to constantly be open to anything, right? Like, it is like improv. It's anything can happen. Like, you're working against someone else and you're taking what they're giving you and then trying to make your own thing.
Right.
And I think that like guilelessness is really winning and comes across so well in his character and on screen. And he plays Jean Cousineau, their acting teacher, who's this kind of like pompous guy who thinks he's, you know, important, but it's all
right.
Like,
he's hidden. Kind of a failed actor.
Yeah, it's hidden in this like failure that he's not, that he seems disconnected from, but like mm-hmm. really has a deep understanding of at the end of the day. And he has just lost his girlfriend. What's her name?
Janice,
the detective. At Barry's hand, which he doesn't mm-hmm. yet know. He's just, he brings like such warmth and like humanity to that role that he's, the whole cast is doing a great
job. The cruelty of Barry seeing him as a father figure and seeking like absolution mm-hmm. for what he's done from him, which is kind of a cover for everything he's done, including killing Janice, is just fucking heartbreaking.
Yeah. It really is. And then Jean saying, so when I see students off hours, I'll just charge you at my later rate.
Yeah, I feel like almost every scene that's truly dark is still punctuated with a moment of humor
which
is just brilliant.
Yeah.
So Jean in the first season is more of like, not uncomplicated, but he's more of a bubbly, upbeat guy. And this season, seeing Henry Winkler playing a man grieving the love of his life is mm-hmm. deeply sad. And I think the last episode, which is a really dark moment for Gene, I don't think he had any lines. I think he did the whole thing without actually verbalizing anything.
Which
it's very sad.
It's amazing. And it ends on a real cliffhanger too, with Gene in bed, sitting up in bed and wondering what he's realizing.
Yeah. All right, I want to talk about another character that's a breakout star for me.
North
Hollywood Henry. I have some spinoff ideas for NoHo Hank, and we will talk about those after a song. So stay tuned, and we're going to come back and talk more about Barry.
lay down in the tall grass, in the flat bottom boat. We lay down and wait for you, with nothing but a piece of rope. Dreaming every night of you, shaking at the sight. I'll be dreaming every night of you, I'll be shaking at the sight of you. Will you beg for forgiveness? Will you pray to be saved? Or will you choke your children when they spit in your face? Dream on every night of you, shaking at the sight. I'll be dreaming every night of you, I'll be shaking at the sight. I dreamt you found me out in the field, you tripped over my sight, and you dug me out of a shallow grave with your Swiss Army knife. And only you could revive me, so badly decomposed I was bone white, dry and scaly. But you still took me home, dreaming every night of you, shaking at the sight of you. I'll be dreaming every night of you. And how can you be so serene? Motivation unclear. In a late basement seance that brought us to tears. Dream on every night of you, shaking at the sight. I'll be dreaming every night of you, I'll be shaking at the sight. And I dreamt you found me out in the field, you tripped over my sight, and you dug me out of a shallow grave with your Swiss Army knife. And only you could revive me, so badly decomposed I was bone white, dry and scaly. But you still took me home, dreaming on every night of you, shaking at the sight of you. I'll be dreaming every night of you.
BFF.FM, where we are talking about season two of the amazing HBO show Barry. When we broke for the song we were about to talk about, North Hollywood Henry, who NoHo Hank was supposed to be killed in the pilot, and then they realized that they had a star on their hands.
The greatest actor of our generation. Second greatest actor in Barry.
What a fucking amazing character. I love him so much.
But what a true joy, too. In a show that has so much darkness, NoHo Hank is like pure light.
An optometrist by nature.
Uncomplicated being. Like, just, yeah, a true delight.
His affection for Cristobal is the purest thing I've ever seen. And I love how when he gets mad, like, he's mad at Barry because he was supposed to kill someone for him and he didn't do it. But he's really mad because Barry called him a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And he thought his intelligence is his insecurity. And it's so cute.
Yeah.
Season 3, I think, opened with Hank dreaming that he was on like a political roundtable show.
Oh, episode 3, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And with smart person Thomas Friedman, as his Chiron said, and then smarter person North Hollywood Henry schooled everyone on Asian foreign policy.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. What's his name? Anthony Carrigan?
Yes, I believe
he's
so.
He's great.
He's awesome.
This is his breakout role, and I think maybe the first role he's done, au naturel.
Yeah.
Adult with alopecia.
Representation matters, you guys. Yeah.
He's just so great.
He's really, really...
The writing for that character is amazing, and I love him.
Yeah, and his delivery of everything is just amazing. And I also, again, what is more American a story than, like, a mediocre white man failing upwards until he's, like, the head of this gang, and then they... and then when he arms them and tries to do something nice for them, then they all turn on him.
Yeah. I love, like, this season opens with the Chechen gang having joined forces with the Bolivian gang, and Hank writing home to everyone in Chechnya about how great things are going, and they're playing volleyball and having a great time, and then the Burmese gang shows up, headed by fashion icon Esther.
Oh, yeah.
And I just love, like... He's mad because there's a girl in their boys' club.
Yeah.
It's just so funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Such a great idea to just make it such a simple, like, childish resentment and turn it into a fucking bloodbath gang war.
Yeah. You like her more than you like me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really great.
When he's explaining to Barry, like, how the Burmese monks are coming to the United States as political...
Oh, yeah.
Asylum seekers, and they're turning the monastery into their where they're going to run drugs and guns out of.
And they're training.
And Barry's like, "That's actually kind of brilliant, really good idea." And Hank's like, "It's an okay idea. Yeah, okay. She probably didn't even come up with it."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's pure joy.
Yeah.
I know you just recently rewatched it. Hank makes it out alive in the end, right? Okay.
He hilariously disappears during the gun battle at the end. And then the guy from Chechnya who is coming to replace him shows up, and Hank pops up from behind a Buddha statue and says hi, and then sinks back down. After having left the bullet with his name with it on Esther to, I guess, suggest
that
he
worked
was
out.
The one who killed everyone.
That but worked out. That he
him
found
trying
out.
To get Barry to kill Esther with the bullet with Hank's name on it, and he's like, see... You want me to get the bullet back?
Yeah.
He's like, no, like, shoot her with, like, a thick book behind her big watermelon. Barry says, so you want me to get her to read a very thick book and then shoot her? Sorry, this just ends up me repeating all the jokes from the show, but
there are
so
too
good.
Many for us to repeat.
That scene where Barry goes to kill Esther and she's just sitting there, blank face, listening to
Chance.
Tom Tom Club.
Oh, no.
On our headphones. Either Tom Tom Club or the Mariah Carey version. You can't really tell from the headphones, but that was amazing. I do think that Esther is my style goals going forward.
Yeah.
Her
Those are like, worthy goals.
Dad core outfits are hilarious themselves.
That she makes absolutely her own. She does not. Yeah.
Yeah, I really want that jacket that she wore at the end that had the like Dixie cup pattern on
it. Oh, yeah.
So good.
The Portland carpet pattern.
Oh, is that what that is?
I don't know. Okay. It's one of the two.
Anyway, I do want Hank to come out of this okay, and I do want to watch a spinoff about him going to get his BA in poli sci.
Yes, absolutely. No, it's nutrition.
Living in the dorms at a Northridge State.
Or yeah, whatever. It's definitely going to be like nutrition or something. Yeah. I want an entire line of NoHo Hank gluten-free products.
Oh, my God.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, when they're joining forces with the Burmese, and Cristobal says, what's the one thing we've always wanted to dip our toe into? And Hank says, chocolate. He said, heroin. Hank ordering the heroin table from Wayfair or whatever. Yes. So I'm on your website. Yeah, it's a thing on Pinterest, but not on Amazon.
Yeah. Hank's, yeah.
So good. I really love Anthony Carrigan now, and I want to see him in everything going forward. What else? I enjoyed the cop in the Ronnie Lily episode. The cop who hired Barry to kill his wife's lover, just getting kicked in the face once and dying unceremoniously. That's the real cuck way to go out, is being kicked to death by your wife's ninja boyfriend.
Who has himself come back from the dead about four times in that episode.
God, that was so fucking haunting. I rewatched this season and I had to turn the volume down on that episode because of the labored breathing through.
Oh, yeah, it's that was
fucking
not
way too much for me to handle.
Yeah, that was not good.
That guy, Karate John Hamm, is himself like a Swedish stunt coordinator martial arts expert.
The reason I know that is because I was watching John Wick last week or two weeks ago. And I was like, where do I know that guy from? And then I was like, he was in Barry. He was the guy. He was Ronnie. And yes, Karate John Hamm is a very apt moniker. He is a very, very handsome man.
Yeah, he was great.
And he could kill you.
Yeah. I LOL'd at there's a part where he gets his nunchucks out and does this big, like,
production.
All these, nunchuck moves, sort of like a flourish, and then just, like, artlessly beats Barry with them.
Yeah.
Just slapping, know, like you would slap someone with your handbag.
Yeah, I also love the end of that extended, as you said, Tarantino-esque fight scene with Barry and the little kid, where he's, like, initially hesitating, trying to hold back a little, and then it gets more and more violent as he realizes, like, she is just really fucking like insane, and she ends up hopping out the window and running across the fence, and you see her like hop through like multiple yards, and he's stabbed and he's bleeding pretty heavily, and like you just see him look out the window and he like mutters like, what the fuck? In like the most funny, because that is all you would say. You would absolutely be like, what the fuck? Like, what just happened? And then Fuchs being like, I don't think she's of this world. Yeah. It was great. And she's on the top of the car. And that whole episode was bananas.
I love how every time Fuchs tried to talk to her, he like treated her like a dog.
Yeah.
Clearly has never spoken to a child in his life.
Yeah.
Which is for the better, probably.
Yeah.
What else? What's your performance piece going to be about the defining moment of your life?
The defining moment of my life.
How you saw a horse one time.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't mean to invoke her name, but Darcy Carden also is in the show. Mm-hmm. I know that you and she have a fraught history. That
long-standing rivalry of her not knowing who I am at any point in our lives.
She's your nemesis.
No,
you guys
to be clear,
together.
Yes, no one's going to listen to this, but yes, Darcy Carden and I were in the same high school class, and she was nothing but a nice person, as far as I know.
And
she's
begrudge her fame,
yeah,
not
I'm
at
just
all.
Yeah, I'm just completely jealous because she worked hard and went to UCB and is now an actor, and I have done nothing and continue to be nothing, and somehow it's her fault.
Yeah, and she's apparently Delight, as both Bill Hader and Conan O'Brien said.
Yeah. So credit to Darcy Carden in that interview on Conan O'Brien's podcast. She was Bill Hader's nanny.
Bill Hader.
Yeah, she was Bill Hader's nanny, and he mentioned how she's very funny, and like he was surprised to find that she was. I can't remember the exact story.
He went to see her at a show, and he was like, "Oh wait, like you're actually really funny." And
yeah.
He said, "Now she's one of the funniest people he knows." And
oh yes, he did say that. But I just thought like, so she. I know that she went straight into being an actor, and so was probably at UCB trying to get roles and. Credit to her being Bill Hader's nanny and never trying to
not
leverage
trying to
that.
Leverage that. Absolutely, yeah. That's really pretty amazing.
Hard worker, very funny, very tall.
Yes, yeah.
I can report. But yeah, she had continues to have a role on the show, and she's very funny.
She's very funny. I love the part where the guy is throwing up into the toilet, and she's like becoming the stage director.
Yeah, her directing their big show.
Yeah.
There's one guy's story is, you know, about seeing his dad as a homeless person. And so the only like performance piece he does is drop money on the ground. And then after his scene, I forget her name, Darcy's character tells someone to strike that, meaning break down this set, which is just picking up a dollar bill off the stage. That was a very quick like throwaway line.
Yeah.
And it's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's performances about their formative moments were amazing.
Yeah, it was really interesting too, because they started out as these outlandish stories. Mm-hmm. Like that girl, the British lady, was saying how like she saw a horse from her. She had like a visual representation of a horse, and then her council flat that she lived in, and she said, "I saw a horse from here." and nobody was understanding the import, and then it turns out that her real story is actually about her uncle burning her house down.
Which she just mentions offhand.
Just casually mentioned.
And I love the idea that this story's not getting across or connected to anyone, and it devolves into her having visual aids, and she's just pointing to pictures.
And a picture of a building.
That's acting.
Yeah. Yeah, there's also the one where the guy talks about his father being abducted by aliens, mm-hmm. and then it turns out like his dad just abandoned his family. Like there's it all ties in again to like that whole thing about like what is your truth and like what's the story that you tell. And it was really funny. His was like his dad was abducted by aliens.
I was 6 years old when my parents left me at a garage sale. My formative moment is being at the Disneyland Hotel when I was 4 and just walking into an elevator that my family was not walking into and going on an elevator ride with some strangers. And
that's a good one.
Yeah.
And such a metaphor for so many things. Yeah, my formative moment was at the Take That concert afterwards when I went to get my Take That bag and realizing it had been stolen. And I... was crying hysterically, and my friend Rachel had to slap me across the face like they do in movies. And
are you sure that
absolutely
happened,
worked,
or is that the truth you're telling yourself?
That absolutely happened. It absolutely worked. And I can vouch for that method of snapping somebody out of their hysteria.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I wonder if that was Rachel's formative moment, was realizing she had to slap you to save the evening.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, probably not, because she was busy with her Take That bag, which had not been stolen.
Well, I look forward to your dramatic one-man
show, my
one-woman
show
at the Marsh.
Yes, absolutely.
We should get together a show. Yeah, I like this idea.
Yeah, everyone if Fleabag can do it, we can do it.
Yeah, if someone who's a genius could do it,
yeah,
we could definitely do it. Any thoughts on season 3? Were you glad to see that the show got a second season?
Yeah, at the time I kind of felt ambivalent about it, but then watching the second season, yes, I absolutely think like there's a lot more to explore about these issues of identity and like also what you can and can't hide and get away with. And spoiler, Jean now knows that Barry killed
Janice.
And yeah, it's I'm very invested in seeing where that goes.
Yeah.
And seeing how that works. I feel like Gene is going to use that to have a coussinissance in his own in his own career. And I'm just interested in Gene as like the version of, yeah, like this father figure that they're all looking for, like how that all plays out.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where they're going to go with Barry's character. Obviously, this season did a lot in exploring how he wants to be a better person, but I think it posits that maybe murdering is just a part of who he is. Mm-hmm. Not who he wants to be, but something that's always there, like closer to the surface than it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is really dark and really interesting and kind of a cold, hard look at, you know, a version of ourselves that we don't admit is there, you know?
Yeah.
Especially in TV, you know, like there, it's sort of more, it's usually more black and white whether someone is, can be redeemed or not. And this show is making it much harder to look at Barry as a simple character.
Yeah, and it's also really interesting given the sort of arc of TV where a few years ago everything was about the anti-hero and people being true assholes, and this character has mm-hmm. never been that. There's like this one terrible facet of this character, but he's not an asshole. Like, he's there for his friends. He's, I don't know, I'm not going to start listing his positive attributes.
No, go
he's
ahead.
Very loyal.
He's 6'2".
He's tall. He can
square jawline.
Can do a banging British accent. We'll cover your shift at Lululemon. All of these are things I personally look for in a friend.
Oh my
we'll
God.
Buy you a laptop as a romantic gesture. You know, mm-hmm. all of these are things that recommend Barry. But it is a bigger thing in like that arc of the anti-hero being the hero for so long, and yeah. now there's somebody who has both sides, and it's not like, it's very much condemning that anti-hero side.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's like interesting storytelling, and it's something different that we don't see. There's not always, you know, there's not a ton of scenes of him with a therapist. He's not, yeah. you know, like all of that. There's like just this guy trying to muddle through mm-hmm. and figure this out with this like ever tightening net of circumstances that make what he wants harder for him to get. And like, it touches on toxic masculinity, like mm-hmm. the whole scene, or the whole fact that, you know, this is what his country did to him. Like, this yeah. is what he's trained for. And then, yeah, just like, that's what you've always been told, and you don't have any other way. Like, he just devolves into rage because he doesn't know how to process any other emotions.
Right.
And, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. But I do recommend watching the little, like, after show breakdown with Alec Berg and Bill Hader, because they also seem to genuinely enjoy each other, and it seems like a really good collaboration, and they're talking about why they made the choices they did, and yeah, it's been illuminating.
What else did Alec Berg do? Was he involved in Girls?
Yes, I think so, and probably a bunch of other stuff.
I feel like
too.
I see that name everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he was in, like, The Kroll Show and a lot of those, too. I think he's in that same group. Seinfeld.
Oh, really?
Little show you may have heard called Seinfeld.
I think I've seen a couple episodes of that.
He also co-wrote the screenplay for the motion picture, The Cat in the Hat, so.
Oh.
Can't all be winners.
I didn't see that, but I'm just generally terrified by those, like, any movie where the main character is in an intentionally horrifying costume is not for me.
Yeah, he's also an executive producer of Curb Your Enthusiasm and Silicon Valley.
All
which
right.
is probably where you've seen his name.
That is where I've seen his name recently. Okay, well, yeah, I think everyone should watch Barry. It is a really brave show mm-hmm. and very, it's a very human show about the dehumanization of our garbage world. Yeah, that's all.
I'll go with that. It's also very funny.
It is. Yeah. It's hilarious. LOL'd in every single episode.
Yes, every episode. The writing is something really funny.
Just fantastic. And yeah. I hope to see a lot more of this show, and I also can't wait to see what Bill Hader does next, because I can only watch supercuts of Stefan so many times to get my Bill Hader fix.
Yeah, Bill Hader has not yet been shirtless in this show, right?
No, this show, I understand it would not really work tonally, I was thinking, rewatching it, like, this show could use a little sex.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind just a little bit of cheesecake. Come on.
But I think that's the other thing, is like his relationship with Sally, while physical and like a facsimile of a relationship, is not deep enough for, you know,
I don't think we would learn anything.
Eye gazing sex scene between the two of them. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not there in the narrative. But I don't, yeah. Bill Hader, do something else with your shirt off. Just help us out.
Next season, he's working on his production of Gladiator.
Yes. Yes. 300 stage show.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll leave you with that vapid thought. And thank you guys so much for listening to TV on the Radio. And yeah, we'll be back next week talking about something else. Have a great Sunday.
And become a BFF bestie.
Yes. Please go to bff.fm/summersustainer and support our little radio station. All right. Thanks, you guys.
Big time. Take me on a roller coaster. Take me for an airplane ride. Take me for a 6-day wonder. Don't you pull my pride aside, aside. What's real and made believe? Baby James and Acapulco, we are flying out to Rio. You're so chic, do the rebel of we. Babies up the mountain streamline, midnight blue casino floors. Dance the cha-cha through to sunrise, opens up exclusive doors. For a while, just like the moonlords look the same. So me and you, just we two, got to search for something new.